Good morning, church. Yep. Very warm welcome again to our service, and it's so good to see you all here this morning. I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it's a blessing to be able to worship together. And I want to thank Richard and the team for leading us in worship. Well, after the service today, as you've heard, we're going to be holding a brief members meeting. Well, we're also going to take a look now in Scripture at not a members meeting, but a minister's meeting. A minister's meeting. And this minister's meeting wasn't still and calm as we just sung together. So we're going to take a look at what occurred here in this minister's meeting. Acts chapter 15, and I'm going to commence reading from verse number 30, just to give you some context here. I'll be reading from the Message, and it reads like this. And so off they went to Antioch. On arrival, they gathered the church and read the letter. The people were greatly relieved and pleased. Judas and Silas, good preachers, both of them, strengthened their new friends with many words of courage and hope. Then it was time to go home. They were sent off by their new friends with laughter and embraces all around to report back to those who had sent them. Paul and Barnabas stayed on in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of God. But they weren't alone. There were a number of teachers and preachers at that time in Antioch. After a few days of this, here's where the ministers' meeting comes in. Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit all our friends in each of the towns where we preached the word of God. Let's see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John along, the John nicknamed Mark, but Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and, offered up by their friends to the grace of the Master, went to Syria and Cilicia to put grit in those congregations. Tempers flared. Tempers flared. And they ended up going their separate ways. Friends, in 1992, Walt Disney released arguably one of the greatest animated films of all time. Or in my opinion anyway. Beauty and the Beast. And upon its launch, it was widely regarded as the most successful release and first animated film to accumulate a revenue of over $100 million in the United States. And what I loved about this animated musical was the unlikely matchup of a beautiful young lady, young woman, and a mean, grisly beast. I mean, out of all of the characters in this film that this young lady could have connected with, out of all of the young men that were pining for her attention, men that appeared to be more suitable for her, ultimately, she ended up falling in love with a mean, angry, and isolated beast. And friends, although Beauty and the Beast is a fiction-based film, inspired by a 1756 French fairy tale, but I want to suggest this morning that not only was this young woman and the beast an unlikely partnership, an unlikely love story, however, the main characters of our text here in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, here we see yet another unlikely duo. But this time it's not a romantic relationship, but it's a ministerial tag team working together for the sake of the gospel. I mean, there are some things in life that are just better together. Whether it's Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, whether it's Tom and Jerry, or even Batman or Robin. There's nothing better when individuals of varied backgrounds and differing skill sets can work together, as the old quote says, that teamwork makes the dream work. And here we see Paul, whom before his conversion could be likened, if you will, to the beast. Because in Acts chapter 8, 9, Paul is described as a man that was very angry, that he would go wild, devastating the church of the Lord Jesus, entering house after house, dragging men and women, and sending them off to jail. Saul, whom he was known before he had a name change, was driven to create fear amongst the church. And according to Acts chapter 9, he was literally on his way to Damascus to search for anyone belonging to this group called the Way. And his desire was to lock them up and throw them in jail. However, the Bible lets us know that while Saul was en route, that he was summoned by a light that shined so bright that it knocked him to the ground. And he heard the voice of Jesus, "Why do you persecute me?" And after which he was summoned to get up and go into the city, and there he would be told what to do next. And after Saul recognized the error of his ways, he was transformed by the truth of the gospel. And now, instead of locking people up for their faith in Jesus, he's now desiring to open people's eyes to the light of the gospel. And friends, it was right within this context that Paul and Barnabas became acquainted. Because when Paul received the light of Christ, immediately he experienced a change in occupation. Immediately, the Bible lets us know that he decided to go out and share the good news of Jesus. However, the church was having a very difficult time accepting Paul because they weren't really sure if he was truly saved or not. They were wondering if he was trying to deceive them, because all they could remember is that this man was a beast going around trying to create fear and havoc for the Christians. But it was Barnabas, friends. It was Barnabas that stood up for Paul. He took him under his wing and he assured the believers that Paul was indeed part of Team Jesus. And church, I want to pause right here because I believe this is a good lesson for us all. Because like Barnabas, we must always seek to leave the door open for people to change and see the error of their ways. I mean, you may have some souls in your own family, those who speak bad about the church, those who may ridicule you because of your faith. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is able to shine the light of his truth, that can open even the most stubborn of hearts. Because if he did it for Saul, then without question he can do it for whosoever will. So I love Barnabas because he recognized the potential in Paul. That despite his past, despite his history, he believed in Paul. He could see that God's hand was on his life. And evidently this team became a prolific ministerial tag team that would make a tremendous impact on their first missionary journey. They would establish churches together. They would equip new believers. They would rebuke evil spirits. They would overcome opposition, and they did it together. And church, after every challenge, after every setback, after every triumph, Paul and Barnabas would remain united. They would remain resolute in their bond of unity. Despite their different personalities, they remained committed to each other and to the God of their salvation. However, like in all relationships, friendships, whether it be in a marriage, friendship, colleagues at work, and even amongst co-laborers in the ministry, life sometimes has a way of presenting challenges that can impact unity amongst relationships. And if they are not dealt with properly, then it can cause separation, can cause a breakdown in communication. And what's interesting about Paul and Barnabas, what I find really intriguing, is before they had this disagreement, they were able to stand the test of time against a host of different challenges. I mean, they remained united when a sect of the Pharisees, they were Pharisee converts in Acts chapter 15, who were trying to create division in the church. They were demanding that the non-Jewish believers should be circumcised, that they should observe Jewish law and rituals. But it was Paul and Barnabas together who stood together and on behalf of the non-Jewish church. And they were able to secure letters from the apostles that could validate the non-Jewish believers. And the question this morning is, if they were able to stand the test of time against a host of different challenges together, then what could be so bad? What was it that was so detrimental, that was so intense, that this once formidable partnership would now be broken and fragmented just like that? Was it the pressure of living life on the edge? Of being on the mission field, not knowing if you would make it back safely? No, it wasn't that. Was it due to some major theological issue that the ministers just couldn't agree on? No, it wasn't that either. Was it down to the fact that Paul had enough of Barnabas snoring night after night on the mission field? No, it wasn't that either. So what was it? What caused this great tag team to become separated? Well, the Bible lets us know that Paul was now desiring to go back on the mission field. What would be the second missionary journey? And the Bible lets us know that Barnabas was all up for it. Yes, let's do it, Paul. Let's go on the mission field again. Great, great idea. But he said, but there's just one thing, Paul. Why don't we take John Mark along with us? Let's take Mark with us. Now, Mark, the Bible lets us know, is a relative of Barnabas. So they were related. But not only was he a relative of Barnabas, But he also accompanied Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. But the Bible lets us know that midway through, he deserted them. He turned back and he went to Jerusalem. And some scholars suggest that Mark was either lazy and was struggling with the demands of being on the mission field, or some even suggest that Mark was a coward, that he did not want to put his life in danger for the sake of the gospel ministry. However, Barnabas was willing here to give Mark another chance. Says, Paul, let's take Mark along with us. Let's forget about what happened before. Let's give him another chance. But Paul says, absolutely not. No way. The Bible lets us know that tempers flared. Things began to spiral out of control. And you know, friends, sometimes you often find whenever there are disagreements, whether it be in the church or amongst friends or family, oftentimes it's not always the major issues that causes the most damage. But sometimes it's those small issues, those niggly problems that end up causing the most havoc amongst relationships. All Barnabas wanted was for Mark to come along with them. Paul says, no way. He ain't coming. And as tempers flared amongst these ministers, they decided to separate. They went their separate ways. Now, I want to pause here because sometimes whenever preachers preach from this passage, it can be one of those difficult ones to preach from because on the outset, it can appear to not have much hope in the story. But I want to suggest this morning that even in the midst of a difficult situation for the early church and for these ministers, even in the result that they separated and went their own ways and tempers flared, not good. But I believe with all of my heart that this was not a surprise to God. Because God is still in control of all things. God was not out to lunch as they were arguing. But God is still very much in control. And sometimes in the life of the church or in our friendships or relationships, when we go through rocky periods and there's a breakdown in communication, sometimes we can think and even ask the question, God, where are you in this? What's happening? Where are you? We don't feel your presence. But I want to encourage you today that God is still right there. In every situation, whether it be good or bad, happy or sad, in the high moments and in the low, God is always there. And even in separation, they went their separate ways, tempers were flaring. But you know what happened? Instead of just Paul and Barnabas going on the mission field together and visiting different regions together, now we had two great preachers who are able to go on separate missionary journeys. And you know what that meant? They were able to visit more people and more towns and cities in a shorter time period. So even in the midst of chaos, God was still working his will for his glory and for his honor. So even in separation, there was something good that came out of it. I remember in my former church, there was a lady, young, and I remember, probably this was happening around probably about 4 or 5 weeks. And every Sunday, when the pastor would get up to share the sermon, she would get up and she would just start shouting in the church. And she was almost trying to oppose the preacher. And then one Sunday, I remember this so clearly, a group of the leaders and deacons, they came and literally, they picked her up and took her out of the church. And I remember after the service, I said, "Dad, what happened here? Why did they pick the lady up and take her out of the church? Seems so severe. Seems so harsh. Why did they do it, Dad? Why?" But then my dad said something that I'll always remember. He said, "Son, this is what you don't understand. That for several weeks, there were several conversations with this lady. There were several attempts to try and create peace. There were several attempts to try and map a way forward so that she would not disturb the service anymore. There were several attempts to try and understand what was happening, to engage in conversation with the lady, to try and lessen the situation. But evidently it got to a stage where they couldn't take it anymore. So they made the decision to say, we can no longer have this. You can't get up and disturb the sermon week after week." They decided to remove her from the service. And even in situations like that, we know that the Bible encourages us that we should always try to maintain peace with our brothers and sisters. But I want to encourage you today, and this might not always be a popular opinion, but we can't always, in our relationships, friendships, always try to see eye to eye. And it seems like we're not getting anywhere, no progress. And it's disturbing the unity, even in the church. It's at that moment where separation might be for the best. Because can you imagine if Paul and Barnabas decided to continue arguing, tempers flaring, what good would that be for the gospel ministry? So sometimes separation, as hard as it may just be for the best in the situation. However, there's something that I want to share with you in closing that is a blessing in this story. Because although Paul and Barnabas separated and went their separate ways, the Bible lets us know that as time went on, Paul and Mark, the same Mark who Paul didn't want nothing to do with on the second missionary journey, they reconciled their relationship. Isn't that wonderful? They reconciled their relationship. And it's powerful because Mark was rendered unfit for purpose by Paul. But we see occasions in the scripture where now Paul was happy to receive Mark in the ministry. On one occasion, he writes to Timothy in his pastoral epistle. And he says in writing to Timothy that it would be good if we also call for Mark, because he will be beneficial to me in my ministry. Paul was writing whilst he was incarcerated. But now he was happy to call for Mark. He was happy to receive him, and now he was a blessing to his ministry. And then on the second occasion was to the church in Colossae. And Paul, in writing to the church there in Colossae, he recommends Mark for ministry. He recommends him for ministry. So I just wonder, could it be that whilst Mark was on the missionary journey with Barnabas, on that second missionary journey, that maybe he was able to mature. Maybe he was able to grow in his ministry. Maybe the fears that he had before about being on the mission field, maybe he was able to overcome them. And he matured into a fine minister of the gospel. Sometimes time can be a healer. And instead of continually knocking heads, not getting anywhere, just to take some time to pause and then come back can be a great blessing. So in closing this morning, where is the hope in this story? Well, the hope I believe in this story is that God knows all things, and that even in difficult situations in the life of our church, God is still in control. He's still in control. And as I was reading this text this week, one of the things I believe that maybe, and I don't want to speak bad of the great Apostle Paul and Barnabas, but maybe upon reflection, I just wonder if they would have regretted the spat that they had. Because I just wonder, maybe if they could do things again, that they could have approached this in a different light. And sometimes, as human beings, we can lose our temper. In disagreements, tempers can flare. And sometimes we can say things in the heat of the moment that can hurt someone. And we may regret what we said later on. But one of the things that I believe was missing in this conversation with the ministers was that at no time did they pause to say, you know what? What is God saying about this? Does God want John Mark to come on this missionary journey with us? Let's pray about this. Let's seek God's will about this. We can't just fight for our own opinions without seeking God's agenda. And sometimes we can hold so dearly to our own thoughts, our own ideas, our own vision, our own way, that we neglect the fact to seek his way. Oh, I just wonder if Paul and Barnabas could have just paused to say, let's pray about this. What does God want? What is God saying? Okay, I don't want Mark to come, but what is God saying? And I would encourage you today, church, that whenever there's disagreements, and there will be, if you ever find a church that is perfect and there's no problems in the church, in the words of my former pastor, if you find a church like that, don't join it. Because evidently, if we join it, we might just mess it up. There's always going to be problems, always going to be disagreements. But in our disagreements, always be thinking, what is God saying here? Is my idea bigger than God's idea? Yes, I have my own thoughts and opinions, but what is God saying? We can agree to disagree, but what is God saying? So let's not ever get to the point where separation is needed. But let's seek God. Because he's able to lead us and guide us into truth and also to bring resolution to tensions and disagreements for his glory and for his honor. Amen. Well, as we prepare now to continue in worship, I'm going to hand over to the worship team, but I just want to encourage you again this morning. Maybe not a situation within the church, but maybe it's a situation in your own personal life. Maybe amongst your friendships, or maybe there's a breakdown in communication with someone you love. And maybe you're struggling with, you know, where do we go from here? It just seems like we just keep knocking heads. But I want to encourage you today, this week, just to pray. Pray about it. And don't respond as Paul and Barnabas did in anger, but respond in love. Respond in love. Amen.